Welcome to David Clark's We Are Superman podcast, episode number 165. I am your host, Bill Stahl, and this is The Power Play. Thank you again for joining me on The Power Play. A beautiful Colorado afternoon here, a weekend, just the kind of weather that just makes Colorado so special. Dry, blue skies, mild, just classic fall weather here. Not like we had actually just a few days ago where it was gray and windy and cold and kind of borderline snowing. In fact, ski season has opened here. A couple ski areas are now open in Colorado. That may be a shock to some of you guys out of the area. Can't believe here we are mid-October, but people are skiing here already. But, you know, had a good weekend. A couple of notable runners. One young man I coach by the name of David Crosby finished his first ever marathon yesterday at the Colfax Marathon here in Denver. This is one of the folks who undertook my challenge, you know, the 5K to basically marathon challenge. Although in David's case, just 4 months ago, he was running the 300 hurdles in high school track. So he went from not so much couch to 5K or 5K to marathon, whatever, but he came from running 300 meters hurdles all the way to running a marathon. He ran the American Heroes Run half marathon in September, and then yesterday he ran a 3:47. And one interesting story behind is that the Colfax Marathon, well, like a lot of marathons, has traditionally been run in the spring and, of course, got postponed due to COVID to the fall. It's always been on a Sunday. Well, when they announced the marathon, they didn't know the Broncos schedule, and they weren't sure if it was going to be on a Saturday or Sunday. And I don't know, somehow we just assumed it was going to be on Sunday, and then all of a sudden, David realized literally on Friday that, oh, the race is on Saturday, and because the Broncos are playing at home. And so talk about scrambling there. You're getting ready for your first marathon and suddenly realize it is a day sooner than you expected. Just thank God you figured that out. Can you imagine waking up on Saturday and realizing the marathon you trained for is already underway? So it sounds like a bad dream a lot of us have had. So you know, proud of him getting out there and running a 3:47 for his first ever marathon, having come from literally running nothing but short distance on the track 4 months ago. So really proud of the effort he put in. He really stuck with the training. And even though he's now a freshman at University of Colorado and has had to take on a whole workload, and it's been a little disruptive to his training, he was able to pull it off. So really good stuff. Also want to mention another athlete I coach, Aaron Montgomery, who came out to Leadville to run the 100 miler and had a real huge disappointment back then when she got a case of food poisoning a few days before the race and just really sapped her energy. And unfortunately, didn't make it to the finish line at Leadville, which was a huge bummer. She ran the Mines of Spain 100 miler in Iowa this weekend. She's from Iowa and she's run this before. She, you know, was feeling pretty good about the training she'd been doing. We'd had a good buildup and everything. And then about 3 weeks before the race, she got COVID, even though she has been vaccinated. She is a cross-country coach and teacher in school and probably picked something up there and got COVID and basically wasn't able to train the last 3 weeks before the race. And it was a struggle. She actually finished the race 4 minutes ahead of the cutoff, so barely made it, but she did make it. So, you know, that's obviously the biggest battle right there. So, you know, very proud of the fact that despite having a real detraining period here, she was able to pull off the 100-mile finish. So great job, Aaron. And I also was going to mention just, you know, we talked about the Moab 240 where you know, Annie Hughes, who had won the Leadville 100, won the 240, but she was just the winner. This is a race that has a cutoff that's basically 4 days. It's a 113-hour cutoff. And just the reason why I wanted to mention it was that, believe it, came in 10 seconds before the cutoff. You know, you're running for, you know, 240 miles, you're running for 113 hours, and it came down to a sprint of 10, you know, beating the cutoff by 10 seconds. And guess what? That person was not the last finisher. There was another one who came in 2 seconds before the cutoff. And I mean, I just can imagine this total bedlam, you know, just people, what it took to try to get these two people into the finish line before this cutoff and made it by 2 seconds when you'd been running for 113 hours. How amazing is that? So go check that out. It was, you know, obviously pretty fun there. And I've managed to get over my case of gout here in my toe. I drank a quart of tart cherry juice every day for days. Not sure if that was the answer or not. Never experienced anything like that before. We got through that. And then in the meantime, I'd caught a cold from the kids I coach probably. And so that set me back. And then I'd hurt my back using the leaf blower. We got leaves on the ground here, folks. So I managed to hurt my back really bad for a couple of days, but managed to come through that. So back to running, I was in the gym doing some serious vertical, both on the treadmill cranked up to its highest slope, as well as on the stair climber, because I've got a pretty epic uphill running adventure coming here in just a few weeks that I'll talk about here later on. But yeah, trying to get back into it and get back in the really good training, so I'm ready for that adventure coming up. So appreciate all the support with that. And one thing before I get into today's discussion too, I just wanted to mention, I was listening at the gym today to Jason Koop's podcast, The Koopcast, who Jason's been one of my mentors in the podcast business, helped me get into this. And he had a really good episode that's out there right now, basically talking about the long-term health effects of ultra running. You know, a lot of people may be concerned about, you know, what is this doing to my body in the long run here? I know I talked to my parents. They've been trying to convince me for about 40 years to stop running because of some, you know, all the negative things that are going to happen to my knees, my ankles, my, you know, my kidneys, my brain, I don't know, whatever. But, you know, basically, Jason and his guest really have a good discussion about the long-term health implications of running ultramarathons. So I would encourage you to check out the Koopcast. That's K-O-O-P. Cast. And, you know, Jason always does a great job because he comes from a scientific background. He's been a long time ultra marathon, ultra endurance coach. So definitely a worthwhile discussion that you ought to check out. And I just wanted to give you just a heads up. We got some really great episodes coming up in the We Are Superman podcast. The episode that'll be releasing this week is with Robbie Ballinger, who you may know that name. He's done some pretty great epic events, including the Colorado Crush this summer that involved lots of just amazing endurance feats. So definitely check that episode with Robbie Ballinger coming out. A super nice guy. Had a great visit with him. And so I hope you'll enjoy that. So you may have been intrigued by the title of this power play, How Not to Be a Sucker. And basically this came about, I had a couple discussions with people this week that brought this all to mind for me. One is, I've got a runner on my cross country team who he's really been struggling. He's a great kid. He's a senior. He's very involved in school, a very thoughtful kind of kid. And, his performances have not been great the last couple of weeks. Part of it was, he did get ill and, in fact, I think he's the one who probably gave me the cold in the first place, so I've refrained from smacking him for that. But we had a discussion, and you know, basically, this kid has got way too much on his plate. It's so common among high school kids; they've got just tons going on. You know, when we were growing up, it seems like everything we had to do, you know, we could remember in our head. We didn't need a day plan or anything like that. But and the biggest thing that kids do is they tend to take things, they pile them up, each little thing, and, you know, their car isn't starting, they had a fight with their parents on the way out the door, they had a fight with their boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, their assignments are late, they're, you know, involved in this, that, you know, sports, and they turn it all into Mount Everest, and these kids turn it into just, you know, something that just crushes them. And, you know, talking to this one kid, he this week at our school is what I call the H word. It was homecoming. I don't even allow the kids to use the word because it's such a distraction. If they say homecoming in front of me, it's 10 push-ups. So it's officially the H word. It's kind of like the P word in the spring. You probably know what I'm talking about. I don't let the kids talk about that. It's such a distraction on so many levels. There, you know, things going on every day at school, and people are talking about, you know, who's going to go with who to the dance and the parade and all this crap that goes on. And so I was talking to this this one young man on my team, and you know, he's telling me how he's like president of the student senate, and they're in charge of putting together the whole homecoming dance. And he was telling me how, yeah, I had to spend an extra half an hour. You know, his sleep had been really bad. And he said, yeah, I need more sleep, but I had spent a half hour extra because I'd assigned two sophomores to get the decorations for this dance, and they didn't do it. So I had to go do this myself. And as I told him, I said, no, you didn't. You know, it's one of those things where you can't take on every other role that everybody else is supposed to be doing. I mean, it's a classic case. I've always told kids that being on student council or student government is the greatest sucker proposition in the world, because you're the one who's volunteering to do all this work. And like a typical team project, there's always somebody who's letting you down. You probably can think back to, you know, chemistry lab in high school where, you know, four of you were assigned to do a task. And in the end, one person, probably you, is ending up having to do all the work and writing up the entire report while three other people are basically skating by, and they're taking advantage of your work to get an A on that particular assignment. You remember that? You know, it happened to everybody. And same thing I was telling this young man. I said, you know, it's like, okay, so the decorations don't get ordered. Big deal. You know, it's like, so you do without. You know, in the long run, are the people who are going to this homecoming dance really going to remember how great the decorations were or not? Will they really go in and say, huh, well, this really stinks. The decorations aren't very nice. Yeah, I told them, no, you know what? If it doesn't get done, it doesn't get done. But you can't just keep taking on all of these roles yourself, because it's going to drive you crazy. You don't have enough time in your day, and it's taking away from other things in your life. And in this particular case, it was definitely taking away from his cross-country running performance. He should have been one of our top two or three boys on the team, and he was struggling. He was not running well. And so, you know, the bottom line is, you know, you sign up for certain things and you can be that sucker who takes on all these things when other people are skating by, basically. And, you know, even in adult life, for instance, I was a member of the Conifer Chamber of Commerce when I had my youth sports business, Conifer, Colorado. It's a town in the mountains where I had a very active presence running flag football and soccer and basketball leagues there. Loved the town. It's about half hour from Denver, and so it wasn't even like my neighborhood, but it's kind of a rural community, which, you know, a lot of people think of rural as being farms, but in this case, this was up in the mountains, so a different kind of rural, and a beautiful place, and just loved the community. They were very welcoming, and I was very active with the Chamber of Commerce there, and for 3 years, I was on the board of directors of the chamber, and, you know, we put on all the events, whether it was the Elevation Celebration, which was a big summer festival with bands and vendor booths and booze, of course, and everything else, or, you know, the awards things they did, or the, you know, the Christmas parade was a big deal every year. So, you know, very involved with that. But it was great because it was a bunch of small business owners, and we all kind of, you know, took on various jobs there, but it didn't seem like anybody was taking on too much. You know, we all did what we could do. A lot of people were very involved. You know, it's not to say that, you know, people didn't get involved, but they were very sensible about what they were doing, and they were not, you know, taking on so much that it was degrading from the rest of their lives, kind of like what I described here with the young man from my team. So, you know, there are ways to get involved, you know, whether it's doing volunteer work or, you know, getting involved in, you know, civic organizations, charities, whatever, without taking on so much that you're doing everybody else's jobs and basically burning yourself out and having an impact on the rest of your life, whether it's your job, your relationship with the, you know, spouses or what have you. So, you know, a lot of it comes down to just saying no. It's a really tough thing. There are a lot of people who, of course, say yes to everything that gets presented to them and say, yeah, I'll do that. Or, and there are a lot of times you have to say no. And a lot of times it's, yeah, you know what? Some of these things are going to get done no matter what, whether you do it or not. Or if they don't get done, so be it. You know, that's kind of the attitude you have to take is so be it. And I had another conversation yesterday. I was at a wedding celebration of a couple that these two folks had gotten married had met each other on my cross country team when I coached them more than 10 years ago. And they met each other on the team, stayed together all these years, and ended up getting married. The marriage was last summer. Unfortunately, because of COVID, nobody could attend the ceremony except for a small group of families. So they had a wedding celebration this past weekend. And I was talking to another young woman who I used to coach, who she's getting married herself in a couple of months. And we were talking about her wedding preparations. And she made the comment about, you know, how busy it is, all these things you have to do. And of course, you know, COVID has made it all more difficult. And she said something, I forget what task it was, but she said, yeah, but you know, if you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. And I said to her also, no, that is not the case. There are certain things that, yes, maybe you need to tackle, but there are also certain things you have to delegate. You can drive yourself crazy, whether, you know, it could be planning a wedding or a lot of other things, if you are not open to delegating. And there's so many people, yeah, small business owners are a classic case of wanting to do everything, because in a small business owner's mind, nobody can do the tasks that they have as well as they can. And that is probably absolutely true for most businesses, that, you know, you're the only one who can do things as well as you can. However, you can't do it all. It is really impossible to have a life if you are going to try to do everything in that small business and keep it going. So you have to look at delegating certain tasks. Now, when I had my own youth sports business, I had my own that business for 14 years. Early on, when I was, you know, roughly running solo, yeah, I did just about everything. I mean, everything from, you know, being out at the fields every day, and you know, we had, you know, all these sports events went on during the weekends, during weeknights. I was out there all the time. Obviously, I had some staff helping out, but you know, I was out there all the time. I did all the marketing. My territory that I had, and I marketed actively to schools. I had 220 schools in my territory, in basically the county that I live in. And so I would visit every one of those schools with a stack of flyers that I would distribute into the schools, that the schools would then distribute out to the kids to bring home to their parents and hopefully learn about my programs and eventually sign up. But and I had routes all set up, and I could probably get to 20, 30, 40 schools every day, you know, between the hours of about 9 and 2 o'clock. You didn't want to get there too early or too late when parents are picking up and dropping off kids, but you kind of had a sweet spot of about 5 hours each school day. And I would just hustle in and out and hit all those schools. And meantime, you know, I had a lot of other things I probably needed to be doing, rather than doing something that eventually I figured out I could hire a marketing specialist, if you would, for $15 an hour, and they would drive all those flyers out. There's no reason for me to actually have to do that. But you know, early on, when I was still trying to make it in the business, yeah, I took that task on. And you know, I learned some really important lessons through a book that was recommended to me by Frank Fiume, who, he's been on this podcast before. He was the founder of I-9 Sports, which was the franchise youth sports organization that I owned. And the book was called The E-Myth Revisited, Why Most Small Businesses Don't Work and What to Do About It. And if I were to capsulize this book, the lesson you learn out of The E-Myth Revisited was, you want to work on your business, not in your business. So the concept is, you want to work on kind of the global picture. You know, how am I going to expand my market? And how am I going to provide better programs and improve the quality? How am I going to educate and train my coaches and staff better? The global working on your business things, rather than in the business, where I'm actually doing the nitty gritty and I'm out there setting up the fields and setting up the tent and, you know, putting out the concessions and taking those marketing flyers out there, etc. And the way you determine what you can do best and what is best to delegate. So what I learned from this is, basically I divide it. I wrote down every single task that I do as a business owner. And you can do the same thing in your own lives. Everything you do every day, you know, with, you know, feeding the kids and, you know, going to work and doing the shopping and paying the bills, et cetera, et cetera. So I listed everything that I did in the business, and I categorized them in three columns. There was the green column. These were the things that, yes, I still had to do by myself. You know, things like payroll, for instance, and purchasing, you know, being a small business. Those were the things I felt very strongly about. You know, I had relationships with my vendors and, you know, something that, you know, I just felt like I needed to do because, you know, it is my business, so to speak. So that was in one column, the green column. There was the yellow column. These are the items that I could do and I could do better than anybody, but I could probably delegate these. Something that if somebody does a really good job, it may not be perfect, that it's going to be okay. And so I could delegate those tasks to other people. And, you know, you have to accept, it's hard, you know, as a small business owner to accept that, okay, they're not doing this perfectly, but is that good enough? You know, and that's the litmus test, you know, does it have to be perfect or can it be good enough? And so that was in the yellow column. And those are the ones that it was a huge thing for me to be able to offload those tasks so I could actually have a life and I wasn't just living, breathing my business 24/7. And, you know, again, I was kind of a sucker when I was trying to do all these things by myself and driving myself crazy. I mean, I went through a period of several years where I never took a vacation. And I woke up one day and just said, you got to go take a vacation. I mean, this is kind of nuts. And so that's what those yellow items were. And then finally, you have the third column, which is the red column. And those are the items that definitely I want nothing to do with. I mean, the classic with a small business owner would be accounting. You can't do without accounting in a small business. That's a great way to basically kill the business. But that's why there are people like accountants out there who can basically create my balance sheet, my income statement, and get things ready for tax time and just, you know, all the reporting that needs to be. And so, you know, accounting, like I say, is a great example of one of those red items. That's something that, like, yeah, I just don't want to do that. And so I'm going to definitely hire somebody even to do that for me. So by classifying everything in green, yellow, and red, I was able to get control of my life and I could work on the business so I could keep growing it and do the global, the more important things rather than drive myself nuts. So to me, that was just hugely important and the way to basically run the business a whole lot better. So you know, like I say, I've termed this episode, you know, how not to be a sucker, and it might be, again, taking on jobs that you don't need to do, things that doesn't matter if they don't get done, like the decorations at that homecoming dance, or even just, you know, working in the business too closely and taking the marketing flyers out to 220 schools yourself or doing the accounting or whatever. So I hope that's helpful to you to think about your own life and being able to think of those things that have just drained your energy because you've taken on too much or you're doing things that you don't necessarily need to do that somebody else can do. Even if it's not perfect, it can get done and it will free you up. It will lighten up your life so much in such positive ways. So I appreciate your listening to the Power Play. And again, stay tuned this week. I've got in the coming weeks, we've got some great episodes coming up. And so I appreciate your listening to the We Are Superman podcast. And as always, if you enjoy the podcast, I would love it if you would share it with your friends on social media and take a minute and give us a 5-star rating where you get your podcasts. And I'd be very humbly honored if you'd write a review as well. And I do want to mention before I take off here that I got jabbed in the arm not once but twice this week. I got both my COVID booster shot. I really wanted to get it because I'm going to be leaving the country here in a few weeks and just, you know, not sure what kind of variants are lurking out there. And I also got my flu shot, which actually I had never gotten a flu shot before last year. I've never had the flu in my life, thank goodness. I hear it's terrible, but just have never experienced it before. But, you know, last year with everything going on, I thought it would be a good idea to get a flu shot. And I did again here this week, same time I got the COVID booster. And you know what? I feel fantastic. I had not a single side effect from them, not even any arm soreness, but none of the, symptoms that people have often reported getting either one of those for that matter. And I, you know, felt fantastic, ran that afternoon, ran the next day, totally normal. So go ahead and get your vaccinations, get it done before winter kicks in. Like I say, no problems whatsoever on this end. So thanks again for listening. And until next time, always be positive.